You're at your old trusty boat. You call Mighty Sparrow. I'm in the city of Mardi Gras.
Welcome to the Sailing Into Oblivion podcast. I'm your host, Jerome Rand.
Good morning, everybody. Holy smokes, what a whirlwind tour. Whirlwind traveling everywhere. Ay, ay, ay. Woo! Feels good. We're coming to you from the great state of Florida this morning, and we just arrived last night. Unfortunately, I had to overnight in a hotel in Miami, but that's just sort of how it goes every once in a while. They kept pushing my connecting flight back and delaying it. And after the third delay, I sort of got the hint that they were going to cancel it. They didn't, however, but I didn't feel like spending 6 hours in the airport waiting around just to have a super late night trying to get to Tampa to my lovely sister, Ina. Shout out Ina and Sven to their house. So I foregoed that, got out of the airport, and ended up plopping down in a Holiday Inn Express directly under the flight path there at Miami Airport. Wow, those jets are loud. They're really loud. It was quite impressive. But today, holy cow, oh man, it's the first non-travel day for me in quite some time, and then just the first day where I'm kind of planted a little bit. This speaking tour thing is not over yet. We still have one more stop along the way down there in lovely Jupiter, Florida, across this great thin nation, or thin state, I should say. But it should be a fantastic one. It's going to be a little melody, a little mixture of all the adventures, including the Appalachian Trail, the sail around the world, and the disaster voyage. Holy cow. It's going to be fun. It's going to be tight squeeze, trying to pick and choose what we talk about. But one of the things that I'm finding people seem to be enjoying more and more, which is something I always shied away from in the earlier days of doing these presentations, was the insights and the takeaways, the things that I learned while I was out there that have helped me in my day-to-day life here on land, as well as with other situations out at sea. And yeah, I don't know. I was kind of under the thinking that I didn't want to sit up there like some weird motivational speaker guy who is trying to tell you how you need to do it. You know, I don't want to be like a Gary Vee or anything like that. And so I focused more on just the storytelling, which I think in some ways is good because I could tell the story pretty well at this point, not tooting my own horn, beep, beep. But it is, when you do these things, when you have a story like that, you really got to tell it. And shout out to my cousin, Michael, who really he sort of gave me a bit of a motivational speech when I was driving back up to Michigan. Long ago, it seems like, months ago, and getting ready for these big presentations. And he said, make sure you really tell that story. You know, everybody, you know, these people aren't going to experience anything near what you do out on the ocean. And so make sure you don't be humble at all. Tell that story. And I did. But yeah, essentially, it was one of those things where the mixture after doing the closing, after being the closer in the Bahamas and then also in Grand Cayman, I just stayed with it. So once I got down to the British Virgin Islands I did, I think, six or seven full presentations. We did 8 clinics, which a lot of those turned into like mini presentations, and then fireside seaside stories for a couple hours a few times a week. Man, it was an absolute blast. Shout out to Bitter End. They have done a fantastic job. Coffee. I had to put whipped cream in here. Not like whipped cream, but whipping cream. I don't know. I'm going to have to go to the store. I'm going to, for this road trip, for this last little stint, I'm breaking down. I'm gonna go full on West Sail 32 Montana, and I'm gonna get some Folgers crystals and some creamer, and I'm gonna go that instant style. No more French press. No more. I absolutely a pour. It's the only problem. And I'm gonna write a review, at least about this, for those Holiday Inn Express. They use those Keurig things, man, and it's just the closer I get to going out and doing plastics research, the less I want to ever utilize those single. You know, you walk into a hotel room and it's got a Keurig in it. Oh my god, it's the worst. But it's got that stupid plastic thing. And then if you want to get to the creamer, you've got to open up another plastic thing that's got a plastic straw and this other thing. And then you got a plastic lid for that stupid cup. And that's one cup of coffee. And if you want to make two cups, you got to devour all of it. So I am swearing it off. I'm ending it. And I'm going to make sure that any type I stay in a hotel that's got those, at least, it's not even going to be a complaint. It's just going to be, you know, getting the word out. My small, tiny little voice saying, boy, it sure would be nice if you guys stopped using these. The single-use plastic thing really is annoying. There. 5-star. Because it was a clean, very nice, very convenient little hotel. They had a lot of trouble with their airport shuttle, though. I'm not going to lie. I watched it pass by about 50 people who were standing there. I don't think all of them were waiting for that exact hotel, but usually those things will stop. And as I leaned down to grab my bag and looked back up, I watched as the shuttle passed by. And then I scanned over and found a taxi and took a taxi. Luckily, it was only a 5-minute ride that only cost $33. Wow, that was expensive, but rant over on that. Shout out to Bitter End. Let's circle back. They have done a phenomenal job getting that place up and running. They call it BEYC 2.0, and it has the exact feel of the old place. And I don't know if that's just the geographic location or the view from that property, which looks out at the North Sound. I mean, it's absolutely stunning. For the first bunch of days, I didn't even want to blink. I just wanted to sit in different locations and open my eyes and look at how beautiful it was. I mean, there were amazing yachts down there. That goes without saying, but the hillsides were lush. They were green, beautiful blue water. Oh my gosh. I barely even got out and did much sailing. You know, they've got the Hobie Cats and a couple other little dinghies, but they don't have the keelboats yet. They're going to get there eventually once they build some more rooms. But, you know, that's what I was kind of hoping to do some actual sailing on a bit bigger boat, but that didn't happen. That's okay, though. It doesn't matter. It was just, I was so happy just either lying in a hammock or doing anything in between all these talks. It was really, really nice. But it still feels just like the old place, except it's new, it's smaller, it's more condensed. The staff are absolutely wonderful, and I can't wait until the rooms are just up and running and blasting. Hopefully by next season, they're going to have space for, I don't know, 12 or 24 guests, and yeah, just absolutely amazing. It was great to go back there. Some people were like, oh man, you know, you're going to get back there. It's going to be really hard because it's all different. Well, you know what? It needed to be different. It's better. It's definitely really, really nice. And it's great to see such good people that are down there working to make it what it is going to be and what it is now. It really is quite amazing. So shout out to Bitter End for hosting me as the adventurer in residence for 2 weeks there. That was absolutely an honor. And if you do swing by, for sure, check out above the quarterdeck. It doesn't have a name right now, but essentially it's like the upscale bar up there, and you will be greeted by Saturn, a lovely Filipino man who knows more about rum and high-end alcohol than anyone I have ever met. And just an absolute charmer, super fun. Made me a special little presenter's cocktail after every single talk, and really just does a fantastic job. Absolutely amazing. But before we get into any further stuff on the show, because this is just going to be a wrap-up show, I'm going to randomly go through a lot of the stuff and the plans coming up and all that sort of stuff. But I am going to obviously do my plug. So big shout out to everybody who has been supporting this show. Last week was the end of the month, and that is when, you know, I see what comes in, and I really, really do appreciate it. So does Sparrow. We have put in the deposit for the sales, and it's go time. It's go time. I'm going to be up there for a couple of days measuring the rig pretty soon. Hopefully, we're going to do some podcasting about that. Hopefully with Sven as well, because it's like an 11-page form. That being said, money has to be made, so I'm going to go out and make it as best as I can so I can pay for all these sales so I can get back out on that ocean come this fall. I've got only a few months left, so I have that deadline. So much, much appreciate the Patreon family. We've also got the links for Venmo and PayPal for those that just want to do a one-time donation to help with the next adventure. That would be great. I'm already starting to think of provisioning lists and all that sort of stuff. And I finally got to see the children's book, the proper hardcover. I'm over the moon. Over the moon. It's available on Amazon. The link will be in the description. So this is the first half. This is books 1 through 3. And then hopefully we'll have the second half out, I don't know, probably over the next like 3 months or so. Hopefully I'll have that out well before I take off again. But it's like a proper book. When I saw the paperbacks, they're great, but they weren't like, a children's book needs to be a hardcover, I believe. And because they take some abuse and everything. And yeah, it's meant to be sort of read to children, I guess. So it's big. It's like 8x11 or whatever. So the pictures are big so that a group of kids can see it. But it takes you through the adventure. It's got the charts. It's got all that sort of stuff. The storyline, I think, is really fun. It's about the trip around the world. So check that one out. That is definitely pretty, pretty cool. It's still so funny to see myself as a caricature and Sea Sparrow out there and all that sort of stuff. So that's pretty cool. And then, obviously, we have the regular book. That'll be sort of in that same group. I'm going to try and do, while I'm here, or at least over the next couple of days. No, I'm not going to try. I'm going to do. I'm going to record it as an audiobook, the entire 6-book series. And, it'll probably only be 45 minutes long, but it's a children's book. So we will see how that all works out because, we got to keep the irons in the fire, so to speak. Other than that, if you want to reach out to the show, if you want to possibly see about doing a speaking gig or a sort of offshore consulting, remember I am the Sailing Into Oblivion School of Seamanship, unaccredited, uninsured, un-anything, because you are not hiring a captain, you're not hiring an instructor. You're taking me on as crew number one, who is essentially just a consultant who, you go out there and we will try and not get in any trouble, try and download as much of my experiences to you as humanly possible. So reach out to the show, sailingintooblivion.com. Can't miss that. Awesome. I think that's all the reads. That is all of it. That is finito. And I don't know. I think that brings me into, I wouldn't call it the subject for the day, but definitely the feeling of returning back to the U.S. The only trouble with going down to a place like the BVI or doing as much traveling as I've had to do over the last few days or weeks is it sort of has a way of pulling back on the momentum when you're trying to roll through all these things and get all these things out and keep plugging away. Although, I mean, it is the job. It's the work that you're doing. So I'm essentially now trying to get more things completed so that I can book more talks, so I can do more travel, so I can make more money, so I can go sailing again. It all points to that same direction, as get Sparrow sorted out so I can get back on the ocean. But yeah, it's finally now I can sort of make some phone calls, because when I'm down there, the cell phone doesn't work. The Wi-Fi is intermittent. I mean, WhatsApp is kind of nice, I guess, but it just doesn't work all that well. It's just not the norm that I'm used to. And when you have internet that's spotty, that can be kind of a pain. The boat that I was staying on was like an iron tank and essentially cut the Wi-Fi signal completely. So unless you wanted to sit outside the whole time, you weren't going to get notified when people were trying to reach out to you. But hey, you know, it is what it is, and it was what it was, and it was wonderful. So big, big thanks again to Bitter End for having me down there. And obviously for all the other places, man, I really would love to go back to Grand Cayman, especially sail in there if I could. I know there's not a huge amount of anchorage and all that sort of stuff, but there are some areas, and I think I made some pretty cool friends down there, so hopefully that might be a stop off in future years. But I will say I'm kind of curious to see what's going to happen and where Sparrow is going to end up sort of going at this point. You know, it's in Belhaven. One concern that I have is of the coming hurricane season, because the water in the Caribbean is really warm, unseasonably warm. And all it takes is, I believe, 84 degree surface temperatures between Africa and the Caribbean, and you will end up with some the makings for some hurricane action. And Sparrow's a little bit exposed being down there in Belhaven. And there's the possibility that I might have to get the boat up to Annapolis if all things go according to plan with the Ocean Research Project and Matt Rutherford and everything, then we might have to outfit some scientific gear aboard the boat. And yeah, we'll just have to do that up in Annapolis. If I'm going to go up to Annapolis, maybe take it a little further north. I'd love to sail it back up into Maine. I don't know if that's humanly possible at this point, but we'll see. You know, the nice part is once I finish a few gigs, basically once July comes, then all of a sudden I'm kind of fancy free for about a month. And in that month, we'll have to just see sort of what happens. But I might be kind of cruising a little bit. I might be sitting in a boatyard and just working. I want to do some paint. I want to do some varnish. I just want to plug away on some serious projects. And I used to be definitely not excited about doing a lot of those things again and again and again, but it's been long enough that I am actually excited. I'm excited to revitalize Sparrow, and knowing that it's going to have a new main and a new staysail, that is just going to be fantastic. Oh, it's going to be so good. And I'll have to get into exactly what these sails are made out of, but it is pretty exciting stuff, you know, recycled materials and all that, trying to do things a little more sustainable, I guess, which every time I've told anybody that, the first they're like, whoa, are you sure you trust that? Yeah, I trust it. It's material. You know, it's essentially the same material, except they're just using material that was already utilized once. So it's not coming straight from the oil factory. It's come from the oil factory. It's been utilized, and now it's being revamped into something else. And I'm pretty sure that if North is going to put it out, they're not going to put out a piece of crap. But at the same time, we're going to find out. We're going to find out the hard way. By battling our way down to the South Atlantic. The nice part is I'm still the game plan, you know, is still the ultimate goal is still just to be able to do 4 or 5 months out on the ocean on the ocean blue. And one of the goals is to sight Tristan da Cunha way down on the edge of the Southern Ocean in the South Atlantic. That has been a dream of mine for a long time. And who knows, possibly if the weather's right, maybe pull in, say hello. I've got, I guess, some connections down there through another project that I help work on called Blue Abacus, and they do fish counting and fish stock information using fancy computers and cameras and underwater things and all that sort of stuff. But they work with governments around the world and essentially get fisheries and all that sort of stuff lots of very pertinent information. So they get utilized down there on that island. So who knows? Maybe I got an in. So it would be neat to be able to stop there. It'd be neat to stop at St. Helena, Ascension Island, all those cool. I mean, just even if I don't stop, to be able to just sight them, because it is amazing. You spend weeks out at sea and you see nothing but waves and the ocean and the sky and the clouds, which is great. But after weeks of it, when that little pinnacle of green or gray comes out of the horizon, and then you just watch it grow and grow and grow and grow. Oh my gosh, it's so amazing. I definitely, one mistake I've made in the past is not having any sort of in-depth charts of these areas so that I can sail very, very close. And if I'm able to raise enough funds, we're going to get Starlink for the boat so that I'll be able to actually sight and see and get really in close to a lot of those things and hopefully take people along for the ride. I mean, my idea is that be able to do some sundowner sort of live streams and just sort of keep posting the experience so that people can kind of ride along with the journey. And it is, and I know I've spoken about this before, but in some ways I felt as though I'm inviting the devil aboard. Because the last thing I ever want to do is not be in the moment out there and replace it with watching, you know, a movie or some freaking, I mean, I always have, there's a selection of like little of downloaded movies that I've had on a hard drive forever that I always take out there with me. And every once in a while I will do that, but that is a limited selection. It's the internet itself, inviting that on board is, it's a little bit unnerving for me because the availability to do and see and just devour content and other things rather than be in the experience of a big ocean voyage and how it can pull you out of that very quickly. And I don't know. I still am not 100% on it because even the idea of creating content out there and posting it is a little bit scary, but I rationalize it like this. I, in the past, would always shoot little clips, little videos. I wouldn't edit anything together, but I'd have it so that by the time I got back to the States or back to land, I would be able to then, you know, put together all this stuff. It's the gap in between the 4 or 5 months that I am disappeared out there on the ocean that I'm trying to desperately avoid because I know it's very hard to come back from that and it takes a lot of work and I've done it a bunch of times, but it is, it's definitely a pain. So I'm trying to change my ways a little bit and that's sort of the game plan. But on another note, we have a big road trip coming up. it's so crazy. I keep doing these. We go from the sea to the sky and then to the road. It's like planes, trains, and automobiles. But I plugged it into the old nav thing on the phone. And oh my gosh, it's going to be a big one. It's from Tampa to Jupiter, to Belhaven, to Pellston, Michigan. We're looking at 20, I think like 30 hours or something like that. It's some astronomical, no, that can't be right. No, it's not that. Unless I think they're calculating that I would go to sleep at some point during this little trip. Or maybe it is. Well, let's see. It's, yeah, because just from Jacksonville up to Belhaven, we're looking at 12 hours. And then from Belhaven to Michigan, we're looking at 16. Okay, so that's, yeah, that's going to be a really long, arduous journey in a rental car. But, hey, you know, it'll have those breaks. I'll be able to stop at Sparrow for a day, do the measurements and get all that sorted out. Hopefully that goes smooth. But yeah, this, then I do know one of the things about when you enter one of these journeys like this, whether it's the sea or it's the land, and it looks daunting and it looks challenging. I'm going to kind of shrink things down. You know, obviously I'm not going to be like, how am I going to drive 28 hours or whatever it is? I'm just going to take it chunk by chunk, and that's going to be kind of nice. But I do know at the very end, I will finally plant myself down for nearly a month and a half, almost 2 months. So I'm looking forward to that. Some hands-on boat work, fixing and finishing up a restoration up in Michigan, all that sort of stuff. That'll be great. And hopefully being able to get some more bookings and things like that for the fall, because that'll be my last shot at basically funding this voyage and everything. And then it'll be out to sea. But the road trip is the, whew, it is, it's got me a little bit like, oh my God, that's going to be a long one. So I think part of my plan is to download another Jack Reacher novel and listen to that, because those are like 16, 18 hours. Those are pretty good. And yeah, just try and have fun with it. Try and enjoy it. And really just savor the experience, I suppose. You know, you always have to consider that maybe this will be the last time. I know there's a few more speaking engagements that I have this summer, and a few other sailing gigs, but essentially, yeah, it's you never know when it's all going to dry up. That's one of the tricky parts about doing a lot of the stuff that I've been doing is, you know, you get these bookings and things and you're like, okay, that takes care of that month and that takes care of that month, but then there's nothing after that. And so there's this uncertainty that is sort of always on the horizon out there that you don't really know how it's going to go. And it can be a little bit unnerving. But again, when you think about, you know, if you think about like your whole life, I suppose, and if you try and consider everything the next 10 years, you want to have that 10-year game plan where you sort of see yourself in 5 or 10 years. So you have that overarching goal, but you don't just sit there and dwell on that, because it's the magnitude of it is way too much. The anxiety levels go up, the panic, the doubt, all that sort of stuff. And you want to, or at least I want to, always try and have not always attainable goals, because I always want to make sure that I'm challenged, and it's something like I'm like, ooh, I don't know if I can do that. I think that's good to have that level of challenge lying in front of you, because it sort of spurs you on, and it gets you out of your comfort zone, because it's so easy to become sort of complacent and have your life sort of set out in a way that, yeah, you're oh, okay, I can do that. I'm going to do that for this many years and we'll be all good. And that doesn't make me nervous and da da da. It's good to be nervous. It's good to be a little bit like, woo, I don't know if I can handle that. I think that's the spice of life in a lot of ways, because when you do and you accept those challenges and you set those goals and then you get to that spot, oh my gosh, it feels amazing. And that really is the key. I mean, when I think about the last couple of months, and I know I've talked about this before, but essentially I went back up to Michigan after, I don't know, when was it? There was like one, there was the sale around the Bahamas, and then it was back to Michigan, and I had, I think, 3 weeks. And that time was dedicated solely to preparation for all of March and doing these big presentations. And I was so far out of my comfort zone with accepting these sort of gigs that, you know, it was unnerving and it was a little scary, and I didn't know how it was going to go, but once I got up there, I had set amount of time. I came up with my sort of game plan. You know, I make lists. I'm a list guy. And I don't know if any of you listen to Rutherford's podcast like I do. I just listened to the last one where he and Nicole were talking. And, you know, in the beginning, or maybe it's the after part, he talks about how he gets overwhelmed by a lot of stuff. And he's, you know, admittedly, he's like, I'm not a list guy. I don't write lists. And I'm just thinking to myself, Matt, you got to write lists, man. When you got 8 million things coming at you, writing lists just allows you to then be like, okay, well, this, this, and this, I'm going to attack those today. And then you can mark those off that list, and that list can help sort of build momentum. So I'm a list guy. I love doing it. I love having my notebook. I have one of the old spiral notebooks always right there with me and a pen. I know it's archaic. I know it comes from trees, but essentially they're renewable, so I don't feel too bad about it. I try not to get the ones that have a plastic cover, which are really hard to find nowadays. But in any event, I like to have that, and it gives me, it's sort of like my guidebook for moving forward and trying to chip away at these goals. Because in the end, you know, I think if you really wanted to, you could just flip to the last page and put your, you know, 5-year goal, bang, stamp it right on there, and then go back to page one and start your list right there. And then you just keep plugging away and plugging away and plugging away. And these are all things that essentially came from sailing. These are all things that I learned when I was learning how to do offshore sailing and prepare for voyages. And thankfully, I learned at a time where the pen and the chart and the sextant were still utilized more commonly than a screen of any type, because I like the old school. It's very inexpensive and it works 100% of the time. Wow, I'm so close to ranting. Yeah, I don't know if you could hear that or you could feel it maybe, but I was definitely about to go on a little tech rant. I hate the technology on those boats, man. Open the floodgates for people without the experience to go out there, get themselves into a little bit of trouble. And get me into trouble too. I've made the mistake, you know. Navigation tools are meant to enhance seamanship, not to replace the experienced sailor's wisdom. How's that for a quote right there? Jeez Louise. So, yeah, that is the game plan. That is essentially all I had to say today. I'm sorry about being a day late on this, but travel restrictions and all these missed flights and just, you know, you got to be in the mood, you got to be in the mode and all that sort of stuff. Wasn't able to get as many podcasts done as I wanted to down in the BVI, but I essentially had hit my limit as far as social interaction and being able to talk. I had to like save every bit of energy for all of those presentations because it was just day after day after day after day. And the interaction levels after 3 weeks of intense interaction with people all the time, it does get a little bit like, whoa. So I know going forward in the future, I'm going to need to break things up just a little bit more when I do something like that. But again, it's all a learning experience. And I think overall people had a fantastic time. I did. And it was really, really great. So looking forward to how things go. Hopefully, now that I am in Tampa, I might be able to reach out to a fellow West Sailor yet again and see if we can get together, which would be pretty cool. Obviously, Sven will be back. Have to do one with him. Maybe even get my younger brother on the show. Now, I know I've said I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to sit there and talk about people that I want to get on the show because it jinxes it somehow. So I'm not going to say that. But I will say, maybe. Yeah, that could be pretty cool. So, other than that, rant is over. It's time to get to work. I've got to figure out how to advertise this children's book on the old social medias. That's going to be the game plan for this morning. And then shopping with me ma. That should be a lot of fun. I need to get some slacks because the next presentation has a dress code, which I thought if you're the talent man, you get to wear whatever you want, right? Nope. Not when you're in the yacht club game. Whoa, where are the topsiders? No, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it. I thought of going over the top and getting a suit. I haven't had a suit since I was like a teenager. Oh man, it's going to be interesting. But yeah, I made a couple mistakes along the way on this trip, and it was like forgetfulness. And I don't know if it was the volume of different planes and taxis and shuttles and all that sort of stuff that had to happen. There were a lot of 4 a.m. wake ups, and essentially the first loss was a set of charts for going, the two charts that encompass the whole world that had the route. Those got left on an airplane up in the first class area as I passed by to go to my little economy seat. Essentially, the first class people would let me put these in there because they were a little delicate. And I did that on every single flight. And the last one I took to go from the Bahamas to the BVI, that one, or from Miami or something, I forgot them. So those are somewhere in the vault of American Airlines, a little treasure for someone in the future. And then I forgot a pair of sunglasses at the last speaking gig in Grand Cayman. Left them right on the table. You know, you're pretty wired after you get off stage. Didn't even think, my sunglasses are right there. Better grab those. And then the last one was one of the brand new shirts that I bought. I left it in a closet in a hotel room in Miami. I contacted them, didn't get anything back. So it was a really nice shirt. I really liked it. It was black and it was just the right fit. So, lessons learned. Yes, that definitely ate into the profits. So that is something that I have to take a little more seriously next time. Try and be a little, I don't know, more cautious, more careful. Because I obviously don't want to have to replace all these things every single time I go out there and do it. But again, lessons learned. That's how we get better. We get that experience. Even when we screw it all up and we don't succeed in what we're trying to do, we're going to learn and we're going to get that skill set of what not to do and what to do better next time. And that is very, very valuable information, which actually flip-flops a failure into a success. Ha! Amazing. All right, I'm going out on that note. Thanks for listening to this little rant and rave, this update. We're going to do hopefully some pretty interesting shows along the way. A lot of it's going to be solo stuff. I know I've been just doing guests and guests and guests, but you know, you get to sit down with a guy like Julian. That was an amazing experience to be able to meet up with that gentleman, and I wish him the best of luck going across the Atlantic Ocean. He'll be leaving later on this month, I believe, if all goes according to plan. So hopefully I will be able to somehow track his progress, because I think that would be pretty cool to update everything. I'll reach out to him over the next couple of weeks. So I've got some work to do. Everybody's got some work to do. Let's do some great things today and this week and this month, and let's get ready for summer, huh? Who's ready for that? Awesome. All right. Until next time, thanks for listening. Out.